A new report out from the Pew Research Center this week finds that the number of stay-at-home mothers is increasing after decades of decline.
In 2012, 29% of all mothers with children under the age of 18 stayed at home, a figure that has steadily risen since 1999, when only 23% of mothers were stay-at-home. So what's behind the shift?
Joining us now to talk about these findings is Barbara Rissman, professor and head of the sociology department at the University of Illinois at Chicago. She's also a senior scholar at the Council on Contemporary Families. Barbara, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
So this number of stay-at-home moms, after dropping a lot over the years, is starting to go back up. First, is this a surprising finding for you?
I think what's surprising to me is the headlines and the way it's been in the news today. Because actually, although the numbers are going up, when you actually look a little closer at what the mothers say, 6% of the mothers in this study say they're at home because they can't find a job. So if they're at home, and so when you take those six out, we're really very flat. So I think that part of the story, probably most of the story here, is that it's harder to find a job that allows you to work and covers your child care, particularly if you're have less education. And your earning capacity is not very high.
Yeah, a lot of times when there's reporting on this kind of issue, it focuses on maybe upper middle class women who are making the decision whether to work or be at home. This change is not that really at all. It's do you have a choice in the first place?
Right. In fact, the percentage of women who are educated with college and above college education that stays home has continued to fall. And while they're sometimes called the opt-out mothers, I think it's more accurate really to call them the pushed-out mothers, because they're women in the kinds of jobs and married to men in the kinds of jobs that are far more than 40 or 50 hours a week. And those kinds of jobs have not, 24/7 professional jobs have only increased the demands on workers. And so that two-parent families where they're both working those kind of hours make it almost impossible, or make it very hard, to also be parents. So that, in fact, what we have in this study really is good evidence that where once upon a time the stay-at-home mom was kind of a privileged, elite, well-educated, married woman, stay-at-home moms now are more likely to be less educated and not be able to earn enough money to make it worthwhile to go into the labor force.
It's a state for a lot of the people we're talking about, maybe where the job they would get wouldn't pay enough to cover the child care they would need while going to that job. Am I right?
That's absolutely the case. And this new Pew Research document also suggests that mothers who are immigrants are less likely to be in the labor force. So they also, many of them also have the language barrier.
So there's been a lot of talk about a wider crisis of people with maybe a high school level of education or maybe a little technical school having a harder time finding jobs, or at least having a harder time finding decent paid jobs. Is this story of these stay-at-home moms just part of that wider story, do you think?
Absolutely. I think this story is very much a part of that wider story, which is it's hard enough to find low-wage jobs, but to find low-wage jobs that pay enough to replace the care and the, you know, how much it would cost to cover someone to take care of your kids, then it's a lot harder. And I think that's really the story that jumps out in this new Pew Research, is the demographic trends that the new stay-at-home mom isn't really a privileged white woman. She's more likely to be an underprivileged woman of color who can't afford to take a, can't find a job that can cover the costs of her childcare.
I've also seen issues, especially in lower wage jobs, of predictability. What I mean by that is where some people can expect to work from 9 to 5 Monday through Friday or some other regular schedule. A lot of lower wage jobs at fast food restaurants, hotel cleaning, that sort of thing, you might be on call for a day and not know if you need to go into work and thus need childcare until the night or even the morning of the job.
I think that's absolutely the case, and I think that even more common than that in those kinds of jobs is that it's structured in such a way that you get your hours every week, say on Wednesday. So you might know for the next 7 days, but it changes every week. And that, too, if that's the kind of job available to you, that's a really hard schedule to try to find someone who's going to take care of your child or children on that kind of rotating weekly basis.
Looking at the numbers of the moms we're talking about, the stay-at-home moms, how many of them do we know are single parents, and how many of them have a breadwinner, albeit possibly one with a lower wage job?
I think I'm going to look this up for you, but I think that most of the we still have the majority of women who are stay-at-home moms married to a breadwinning father, but the numbers of single moms has gone up to about 40%. Yeah, 41% are now. So those, and the other thing about being a single mom these days is they're far more likely to be in poverty than married mothers. So that's, if you're at home, you're far more likely to be raising children in poverty. And that really is quite a different perspective than the traditional leave it to beaver sort of view of a stay-at-home mom.
Do you think this is largely an untold story in our culture, maybe mainly in our media?
I do. I really think it's an untold story, because when people who are writing for mainstream publications hear the word stay-at-home mom, they think of women who have been professional doctors and lawyers and decide they have a baby and they're not going to go back into the labor force. And that's what the word calls forth, I think, in our stereotypes. And what this research, this is not the first research that started to show that there's been a flip on who stays home when they have children, but it's certainly the newest and the most nationally representative research on this, that we have a flip in what it means and to be a stay-at-home mom, and now for not all but most, it's really about not being able to earn enough wages or have enough stability in one's schedule to find reasonable childcare.
We're talking with sociologist Barbara Rissman of the University of Illinois Chicago about the new Pew Center research on the increase in stay-at-home moms over the last decade, largely pegged to economic necessity, not to personal choice. And we want to hear from you.
We're talking about the rise of stay-at-home moms. A new report out this week shows that the number of stay-at-home mothers is increasing after decades of decline. Our guest is Barbara Rissman, professor and head of sociology at the University of Illinois at Chicago.
And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Are you a stay-at-home mom? If so, was it a conscious choice you made, or, like a lot of the people accounting for that increase, did the economy force your hand? Is it because there isn't a job you can get or that pays well enough to justify getting it? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post over at the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. We've got Katie on the line in Green Bay. Katie, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. I was just calling, listening to your program, and I'm a stay-at-home mother, and I don't really fall into the categories that she had been discussing. I am educated. I had a wonderful job, and I left because I didn't feel like I would have the balance between family life and professional life, and I thought I'd be torn in too many different directions to do a good job at either one, and I just find it frustrating as a professional that there aren't part-time work opportunities as a professional out there. And I just wondered if your guests had any research or any information to share on that, on the lack of part-time opportunities.
Katie, thanks for calling. Another kind of category, someone who wants to work part-time while being mostly a stay-at-home parent. Barbara, do you think that's a common story?
I absolutely do. I think that, in fact, the research shows that most of the professionally educated stay-at-home moms, who are often called opt-out moms, are really pushed-out moms, like this the person who just called, which is they'd like to keep their hand in their profession. They'd like part-time work for when their children are small and the high-impact parts of parenting, but that's not how our working workforce operates, that it's either all or nothing. And I think that this all or nothing paradigm is really it's a legacy of a history of where mostly families were breadwinning men and stay-at-home moms who, when they married and had children, that was it. They were removed themselves from the labor force for the rest of their lives. Now, all people, mothers and fathers as well, have high-impact parts of their lives where their kids are young and they want to have more flexibility to spend less time in the labor force. And then their children are older, and that's gone, and they want to be back in the labor force. And so, but our society is still mindlessly plugging along as if there were two kinds of people, those who earn a living and those who take care of children, when in fact more and more men and women, mostly women, but we're moving more that men feel the same kind of crunch, where they actually are going to spend their lives being both breadwinners and parents, and they want more flexibility to do both. And we push them out of the labor force some, if that's what they want at this time. And I think we feel it at the individual level, but we have to change our workplaces and even our legal system, our regulations, so that companies can't really discriminate against people who want to pull back for periods of their lives and not give it all.
Katie, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Well, Barbara, I've also seen coverage of employment trends lately saying that one of the things that makes it really hard to get a job is having not had a job for a long period of time. So say the people we're talking about, maybe they've had to stay home from birth through the time the kid goes to school. Does that make it harder for them to reenter the workforce even when they have the time and schedule flexibility to do so?
Oh, absolutely. When women, the sad part is that when women do stay home for just a few years, it impacts their entire, not only career, but lifetime earnings. They never catch up to where they would have been if they hadn't taken that time off. And so that there's a presumption that you have to make a career in a straight beeline without any bumps and curves. And I think that that presumption once again falls back to the sort of unconscious bias that we presume that people are either ideal workers and don't have anything in their life but their work 24/7, or they're mothers. And in fact, in this day and age, people mix it up in all sorts of ways, but our society, our businesses, our government has yet to catch up with the way people are living their lives or trying.
Let's go back to our callers now. We've got Angie on the line in Milwaukee. Angie, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you? I was just calling in because I have a bit of a unique situation. I haven't really met too many people that have it, but I mean, I semi-chose to stay out of to leave the workforce after having a child. And it really had more to do with the fact that my husband was not supportive of having our son in childcare of any kind whatsoever. So, I think that's another reason maybe why some women decide not to, is just they're not comfortable with the childcare options, or they don't have a supportive spouse that is supportive of their career. And as far as the things that I find to be the most challenging as far as leaving the workforce is, I think that in a lot of ways, the stereotype is actually flipped of a stay-at-home mom. It's, you know, I think more people treat me more like I'm stupid than anything else. Like, you know, why would you give up your career for this? And, you know, so on and so forth. the challenging part for me is the lack of adult interaction on a daily basis and the lack of, you know, seemingly quantifiable challenges. So I think, yeah.
Angie, thanks a lot for the call, and I can sympathize. I was a work-at-home parent for a while, and I did miss interacting with grown-ups from time to time. But Angie makes the case, Barbara, in addition to being locked into the stay-at-home situation, she feels stigmatized for being a stay-at-home mom.
Well, I think that she really put her finger on a real social phenomenon, which is that back in the day when most kids had stay-at-home moms weren't lonely because their friends were all also around all day to get together with, take the kids to the park, to have play dates, and so that as fewer and fewer children actually have stay-at-home moms, and right now only 1 in 5 American children are being raised by a stay-at-home mother. So that those women, in fact, don't have a natural peer group in their communities, in their neighborhoods. It also is part of the reason we're having fewer and fewer successes of organizations that depend on the volunteer labor of women who are outside of the labor force, or stay-at-home moms. So I think that the issue for women who are at home with their children is to somehow hook up in a, maybe even a meetup group, but in organizations where there are other women or men, parents at home during the day, so that they get together and have some adult interaction. Because I think that that used to happen naturally, but it doesn't happen naturally anymore when only 20% of American children have mothers who are, or fathers who are outside of the labor force.
Barbara, you've mentioned a couple times that our legal system, our corporate structures haven't caught up with the needs, especially of these lower income moms who are staying at home and don't have a lot of prospects for good paying jobs. Briefly, what is a change or two you would like to see?
One thing I'd like to see is the ability of any paid worker to go from full to part-time for short periods of high-intense family responsibility times, family responsibility, so that people can keep their jobs at the same rate of pay, although perhaps cut to 3/4, to give people at high moments of family labor the ability to hold on to the job that they have without having to work the same number of hours. And that would be a first step. It's not the full answer. I'd also like to see high quality, affordable child care available for everyone, so that no one has to choose between having a job or making sure their kids are taken well care of, because no one, myself included, would choose to work in the paid labor force if it meant I didn't think my child was going to do well. And so those are the two things that two baby steps I would like to our society to take in the next few years.
Barbara, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Barbara Rissman. She's professor and head of sociology at the University of Illinois at Chicago and a senior scholar at the Council on Contemporary Families. She joined us to talk about new research showing stay-at-home moms are on the rise.